die the great death and be alive. Come alive. The great death, who first instructed us in this way? The great death, the hard clump of self-preoccupation completely released. Me, 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 released. We've all got the habit, but there is no such self, fixed, permanent. There is no solidity. I, me, mine, ego, ego, ego. We take it to be our treasure, our palace, our point of reference. Thanks to ego, we assume we have a reason to be, a purpose. Because of the ego self, we think our life has meaning. The meaning of our life comes to be to defend, to protect the ego. Or life comes to have less meaning because of our attachment to ego. Why do I have to put up with this? Why does this have to happen to me? Why can't I get it together? Comparing oneself to others. Lost in ego concerns, a young mother recently became unable to take care of her own baby, her own children. She couldn't even make herself prepare meals for the little ones because she was couldn't get herself to do anything. She lost all ability to sincerely live. The ego eye was bruised and bleeding. Life had lost its meaning in her depression. Even when the child tried to reach out to his mother, "Mommy, Mommy," she couldn't hear him. Me, me is suffering. There are many people out there in this kind of depression, people who can't sleep, who have no appetite. Life has become meaningless or hopeless. And we often see this happening to people who have been very active and involved in helping others, people who have a sincere desire to serve, whose meaning in life has been to work for others. It sometimes happens that they feel their work to have been in vain. They receive no appreciation, but rather the opposite. So what does it mean? What is it for? Their intent is at once destroyed, and they become unable to respond well to anything. Nothing seems real. That's what happened to this young mother. Nothing shined for her in this depression. Her friend had been coming to this temple for some time, and the friend tried to talk to her about what she was hearing here, but it fell upon deaf ears. The mother kept getting worse, and her friend finally convinced her to come to a kannon talk that happened to be on a Sunday. At the time, I knew nothing about all this. The friend, I heard about it later, from the friend and from a long letter telling me about it. Anyway, this person, this young mother, had constantly complained about not being able to sleep. And she was stressed out and so tired. She came to the kannon talk and was finally lulled into a peaceful, sound sleep as I gave my kannon talk. She was even able to sleep through several more months of kannon talks. I'm sure that when she awakened from them, she was again slapped in the face with her depression. But she was finally able to sleep peacefully. And then, somewhere along the way, she started waking up for the talks. And something started to reach her. Something reached her, and she came around. And this was a person who had so sunken into and so grasped her own suffering that she was unable to respond even to her small child. when he cried or tried to get near her. But now, she says, her life has meaning. She's come around. And she's so grateful, first of all, to her friend for helping her out. And she's kind and thoughtful again, as she was before. She's back in contact, knowing that she is in contact, relating together. She's seeing every reason to be alive. And seeing that there was no need for that kind of questioning hopelessness and doubting everything. Things really are all right. We really are cared for now and here. Her children must be happiest of all now. It's now when they call out to her, she responds promptly, one with her children. Her husband, too, is vastly relieved, and her parents, who had been cooking every meal and bringing food to the children because she wasn't able to cook. The letter said that the Kanon talk, the one that she was actually able to hear, spoke to her directly, right down to the examples given. I couldn't help but cry as I read her letter. She's feeling back, together, related to others again. All things are born of causes and conditions. All things which can be seen with the eyes, and all which cannot be. All things from the beginningless beginning to the endless end. All things, this one truth. All things, nothing left out, nothing lost. All things are born of causes and conditions, born in relationship. This is the oneness of infinite interconnectedness, oneness of mutual support, oneness of mutual harmony. Awaken, and you see the great lively functioning of one life. All conditioned things are without self-nature. Yes. Awaken to see that there is no concrete nature, no substantial nature, no stingy nature, no holding. The sense of a fixed, solid life situation, and thus the complaints and the discomfort that we feel, arises because one is looking off from one's pure, true nature. Without self-nature, no going, no coming. No going, no coming, thus no grasping, no attaining. No attaining, thus emptiness. This is Prajnaparamita. Self-nature is empty, with not one single thing to obtain. That which all beings, that which all of us ceaselessly seek, that which we all desire, is the great peace which is emptiness. Great peace of mind, great comfort, great vital, lively freedom. This life is radiant. This. Please go ahead. Don't hesitate. Your true nature is truth. Your true nature is perfect freedom. So, just doing. Because there is no private judgment, no weighing and measuring. Everything is just as it is, just right as it is. You say so. My experience of life is judging and judging and discerning and weighing and measuring, testing out all the angles. Yes, that's exactly right. One must experience the pain of suffering for oneself. If not, how could you be driven to work for freedom? Your experience is egocentric, evaluating. Yes. But all is well. Fall down, get up. Get up and step this one step. This one step. You seem to get all twisted up in your preoccupation. That's because you identify yourself as a concrete something. So you hang on for dear life because you're afraid of losing this concrete something. You feel it to be very valuable indeed. As long as you hold on to your assumption of this concrete something that I call me, you will not be at ease. You will not have peace of mind. You are carrying some mighty heavy baggage. You feel loaded down, so you try in some way to deceive yourself. This is each and every one of you. You try to cheat. You try to blame the next guy for your burdens. You try to pass the weight on to somebody else's shoulders. Somehow, unconsciously, imagining that we can pass on our burdens, we involve ourselves in untold struggles. Relying on egocentric judgments and assumptions, we inflexibly rattle and bang through life. There's never enough. It's never quite right. If it could only be just a little different. We further accumulate layer upon layer of negative karma. But, of course, you are not resigned to the situation as you presently perceive it. As we chant, although my past negative karma has greatly accumulated, indeed, being the cause and condition of obstacles in practicing the way, may all the Buddhas and ancient teachers, now who would that be? Where are the Buddhas? Where are the ancient teachers? Someplace way off? Certainly not. May all the Buddhas and ancient teachers who have attained the Buddha way be compassionate and free me from karmic effects, allowing me to practice the way without hindrance. Where are all the Buddhas and ancient teachers? Buddhas and teachers of old were once just as we are now. All the Buddhas, all the Bodhisattvas. Somehow, sounds so familiar, doesn't it? You feel you've seen them. You feel you've heard them. Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, the sound rings so true, so familiar, so intimate. Yes, you have been there. You are there, here. After all, it is your very own present truth, here and now. The Buddhas and teachers of old were just as we are now. We in the future shall be Buddhas and teachers. What a pity to be feeling yourself so alienated, so separate. Wisdom is illuminated in this one single doing. All is well. This is your ground, your beginning. All is well. Everything is good. This goodness becomes apparent only in this one doing. There was once a very loyal son. His mother told him that the well was full of cool, sweet, fresh water. In order to drink the water, He had but to draw it from the well with a bottomless bucket. A bucket with no bottom. His mother assured him that the best way to draw the water is with the bottomless bucket. Mother's mind, what a blessing. Mother, giving all, holding back nothing, protecting, nurturing. Mother's mind knows no idea of self, grasping, attaining. Mother's mind is enlightened mind, your true life. Giving, giving, completely in offering. Pure, delicious water. Draw it from the well with the bottomless bucket. Throw yourself into it. Our buckets always appear to have a bottom, but this bucket is, from the outset, bottomless, perfectly bottomless. But can I possibly draw water with it? You can. Just do it. Just do it. A bottomless bucket. We're forever building bottoms on our buckets, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 layers of me, 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 hard ego bottoms, non-existent but appearing so very much to exist, to be, is. So we break through the notion of a solid bottom. Breakthrough. You wonder how you could possibly draw the water. Of course you wonder. A separate, static, ego world is what seems apparent. You can't really be expected to conceive of something so utterly outside your usual view. The youth wonders how he can draw water. He listens to the voice of his mother, who says not to worry. All is well. Obediently, he drops the bucket down into the water. Just this one doing. No water yet. It's okay. Just draw the water. He drops his bucket in, obediently, earnestly, without criticism, without analysis. This attitude is precious. The boy continues, one night of dropping his bucket into the well, maybe catching a few drops this time, or maybe not. It doesn't matter. One night of concentrated, unquestioned, undoubting effort. The true self falls upon the true self. At dawn, the barrel is full of brimming full of fresh water, drawn from the bottomless bucket. On the other hand, it could be a disloyal child, not loyal to the mind of mother. How could this work? I'm not drawing any water this way. I might as well give it up, take a break. Who can draw water with a bottomless bucket? I can't get to the treasure I want. This isn't working. How do I do the practice? Why do I have to struggle so? I'm somehow just not able to give it my all right now. My practice isn't good enough. Dribble, dribble, dissatisfaction, born of self-judging, oozes. In the morning, with that bucket, bottom, hard and solid bottom, a bucket of a hard and solid bottom, there's still no water in the barrel. Where is your faith? This Buddha nature, this vast, limitless interconnectedness, oneness. The way is perfect, like unto vast space, nothing wanting, nothing superfluous. Draw water with the bottomless bucket. Say yes to everything in the universe. The grace of heaven and earth is mine. Not a single drop is lost. There was never any stingy bottom in any bucket. There is just plenty. Just plenty from the beginning. Everything is universal, perfect life. You must have faith to draw the water, the roots of great belief. Great emptiness is receiving without limits. Directly receive, yes, I will just do it. This one doing, this one doing. Now, here. Nothing is distant. Nothing is lost. Nothing is attained. Great transcendental wisdom is your truth self. You are raised and nurtured in the mind of mother. Draw the water. Just draw the water. And when the thought arises, I could do better than this, pay it no mind. It's just a thought of loss, not gain. Break through the bucket of ignorance. This one doing. This is the way, the only way. And when the thought arises, hey, I think I'm getting a drop of water. I'm finally getting somewhere. Pay it no mind. It's just a thought of gain, not loss. You're just trying to satisfy the self idea. The self idea that thinks I've got to get somewhere, I've got to be something, somebody, get something from this practice, get somewhere, become something. Change. You're just trying to save up something to add, to accrue, to gain. Getting somewhere is just a notion. Attaining something is just a notion. You want to feel that you're getting somewhere, doing well for yourself in your practice, don't you? You certainly are busy filling up your storehouse. It's stuffed full, but it's not a treasure. Concrete notions of reality. The hungry ghost mentality, it's never enough, it's never right. Dissatisfaction, frustration, craving. The hungry ghost state. It's hard to even look at you like this. Or the mentality of the angry gods, brought about by rage, power, thoughts of anger. Dissatisfaction, wanting things to be somehow different. This is not the stuff that you want to save up. You're saving up only more negative karma. Once you can really reflect upon how your present actions bring about hellish existences, you'll be vividly motivated to practice purely. In this life, save the body which is the fruit of many lives. Before Buddhas were enlightened, they were the same as we. Enlightened people of today are exactly as those of old. Doesn't it sound familiar? Quietly explore the farthest reaches of these causes and conditions, as this is the exact transmission of a verified Buddha. Original Self. We have this human existence in order to awaken to it. If the beginning is not right, myriad practices will be useless. Yes. I will let go of self-cherishing. Worldly views are hard to hold. There comes a time when you have to realize that you can hold on to no thing. And worldly views, grasping, clinging to self, or dangerous. There's so much anger and tension and hatred between people, even within relationships so intimate as parent and child. All conditioned things are without self. Where is this world? No self. No self. What does it point to? Who does it point to? Perhaps you assume that if you let go of self-cherishing, there would be no meaning to life. Or what joy could there possibly be to life? So up to now, you've expended so much energy in pleasing the self. But who will be the one to regret that lifestyle of grasping? Everyone must reap the seeds they have sown for themselves. It's like there's a very precise computer noting each action. No action goes unnoticed. The record is very accurate. You reap the seeds you sow. So, will you go with the empty bucket? Or will you go on grasping at the surface, I, me, mine, hard and solid, trying to add, adding, gaining, getting? It's up to you. You are free. Of course, you're here now, doing this one doing. It's obvious that you've made your decision. You just have to stick with it. Gyuge said, those who in past lives were not enlightened must attain enlightenment in this life. Your commitment is unwavering. Your great faith has deep, sound roots. Belief in original Buddha nature. There is no fixed, unchanging identity. There is in reality no hero, separate, cut off, ongoing. All things born of causes and conditions are without fixed nature. Be resolved. In this life, save the life which is the fruit of many lives. Please, carry through with your practice. The bucket is bottomless. The bucket is empty. So go ahead and lose. Lose in a big way. Be without. Lose. I draw the water and draw it, and I don't accumulate any. I'm not getting anything, I'm not gaining anything. Just loss. From the start, make up your mind. Lose, lose, lose. Empty, empty, empty. Let go. Carry on. This one doing. No, that even if all the Buddhas of the 10 directions, as innumerable as the sands of the Ganges, exert their strength, and with the Buddha's wisdom, try to measure the merit of one person's zazen, they will not be able to fully comprehend it. Your practice is this precious. It's the sacred tears of Buddha. Buddha smiles upon you. Good, good. Buddha tears fall upon you. Just do this one doing. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.